Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's
over. Here's a chance. That goal. Shot rebound. Score.
Baby, come on. Who hasn't uttered that a time or two? Come on. You're going to love it. This is Tall Can Sports, only on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. There's Rob over there.
Yeah, it's true. You sounded quite pleading there, actually.
Well,
come on. You're going to love it.
Doesn't it normally have to come?
See,
come on.
I usually go with the other, with the finishing. Light the candle. It's somebody's birthday somewhere.
We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. Subscribe to this wherever you listen to pretty much anything.
I feel like this show could go anywhere. Do you have that feeling?
I really do, man. Because we've got stuff. We shared stuff in the green room.
Yikes.
Not stuff that you'd take. Come on.
Yes.
but some stuff that we kind of want to address. But we may not get there.
You mentioned the word rudderless.
Yeah. Well,
which may
should have been the name of the Rudderless Podcast.
Which may go a long way to explaining what's happening here today.
So, cards on the table, just for people who want to keep track of such things. We are recording this on Sunday afternoon, so you may or may not have up to date information. We can check this out on Monday morning. And I only bring that up. The Toronto Maple Leafs did not appear on Hockey Night in Canada.
Fuck, it was gorgeous.
You think anybody watched?
Yeah, well,
even you PVR'd it. You couldn't be bothered to watch live.
For sure. I don't watch I don't watch any hockey games live.
Why?
Because I hate the commercials. Commercials are absolute a sucker's business. So I always start everything an hour late.
I kind of like that. Interesting conversation the other day on the Hockey PDO cast, which I like because it's like POD cast, but PDO. For you advanced statistics nerds, PDO is the luck, right? It's the shooting percentage plus the save percentage should tell you where about your team is at. They were talking about
I think my team knows where I'm at when you add it's penalty kill plus power play.
Yeah, it's the Scotty Bowman, the original analytic.
That's the one you need to know.
Yeah, and those numbers should come out to be about the same as your PDO. They talked about...
So it sounds like work for the sake of work. Go with your original.
Best... No, they're very...
Right. I know, but you said the numbers should be about the same, and I'm saying then why do it?
Because they measure very different things.
I know, but...
Okay, so they talked about best and worst broadcast teams from around the league. Now, you and I don't know every local radio or
but
TV.
You hear a pile of stuff.
Oh, right? For sure.
And without a doubt, it's Boston. Come on, man. That has got to be...
Do you feel like, and as a Leaf fan, I know I do, we're just missing the joke? Like, they know they're intentionally trolling everybody?
No.
You just think that's him?
I think that's him.
Brick... His co-host, and I don't know his last name, but Brick is a great name for a Boston area guy. He sounds like New England, right? Do you think that's part? Like, to me, the one that always stands out to me, when Nashville got started, for years, their color guy was Terry Crisp. And you go,
Crispy!
All right. But when you're trying to attract a new audience, why not bring in a guy who sounds like your audience, right? There was a big uproar.
I think your audience doesn't know hockey, and they're like, that guy sounds like he knows hockey.
You want him to sound like a Northeasterner or a Canadian, you think?
Yeah.
Maybe.
That says hockey.
There was an uproar last year during the 2019 playoffs as the Bruins were getting ready to play the Hurricanes. And
they cut off the Hurricanes guy.
Yeah, there was a guy from Carolina that they had brought on to Boston Sports Radio to talk about the series, and they eventually just cut him off. And went, I can't talk to a guy about hockey if he sounds like that.
Yep.
To me, first of all, that was a shit move. But as a morning show, I get what you're trying to do.
It was a dick move for sure.
But in Carolina, now he's not a broadcaster. He's a writer.
Yep.
But, you know, why not have a little bit of your market? If you have someone in your market, and I'm sure you do, who knows hockey and who sounds like your chief audience. I don't know. I kind of.
It's two different things, though, right? You're talking about the guy who works for the Carolinian or whatever his sure. whatever his deal was,
yes,
right, who did have a bit of that Southern barbecue flavor to him,
yeah,
and he was making, in my opinion, lucid points in terms of speaking of the Hurricanes.
Yeah,
it was the Boston guy who said click,
yeah, oh, hung up on him.
I can't talk hockey with a guy who talks like that,
right?
And so, yeah, you're like, it's a total dick move. This is a guy who's taking time out of his day
right.
to come on your show to help break something down, and you're going to disrespect him. So to me, that's a dick move. The idea that Terry...
The only reason I used it as the comparison was his voice, right? His accent.
Yeah, and I'm saying you're trying to introduce hockey to a new market,
yeah,
right? And I want to hear from a guy who... Maybe it doesn't sound like he's from the Carolinas because that's not a rich hockey hotbed. If somebody sounds like they're Northeastern or Canadian, that's a guy who I can believe is coming to me with a bit of credibility, even if he doesn't have any. I don't know. But the voice already goes, yeah, that guy sounds Canadian. I like that.
But I'm the new guy. You're trying to sell me this new team. I think I'd like to feel like...
Well, we covered that in the Pornhub show. A couple of, I want to see naked people that look like me.
No, I don't at all. I can see one of those anytime I want. I don't need that.
Matt in the mirror right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Would you fuck me?
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's funny you say that, man. On Friday.
It really is funny.
I found out, and this is a sports show, Ottawa-Montreal on Saturday night had a live act performing in the intermissions.
Okay.
You would have to go all the way back to 1987.
Morris Day in the motherfucking time.
Nope. Way cooler if it was, man. Way, and it wasn't Cameo with Word Up either. No. Nothing that cool. It was Men Without Hats. Safety
Pop
dance.
And
Pop Goes the World. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And later, Sideways was a tune they released a couple years after that initial. Very current. You know,
yeah, sure.
32 years in the making. Topical. You're like, what the hell is going on here with that? Where am I going with this?
I have
this,
no clue what that was.
The segue was what?
You've totally fucking lost me, man.
Well, there was a reason it was.
All right. Well, you'll bring us back if it comes to you.
Yep.
Speaking of Nashville and accents and, you know, these sorts of things, some pretty big news made in Nashville this past week as Pekka Rinne scores a goal. And I wanted to get your opinion. Are we at a point, or should it matter? Should there be a separate statistical category between goalies who score a goal and goalies who are credited with a goal? Because since obviously it's always been rare, but since the invention of the trapezoid, goalies even bothering to try for the open net have gone way down. Pekka Rinne does it against Chicago, and he said he kind of lobbed it up over the neutral zone. Kirby Dach tries to knock it down with what would clearly be a high stick, but at least not a goal. And it goes all the way down and in. And he becomes the second Predators goalie ever to be credited with a goal. But it just kind of bounced off Chris Mason, and then a shitty pass back through the neutral zone ends up going in the net.
You mean that was the first Predator goal was Chris Mason.
It just kind of bounces off of him, and then hijinks ensue, and it ends up in the other team's net. This one, you know, Pekka Rinne actually shoots it down and scores a goal. And you see way less goalies even trying it now because you can't play it.
Who do you think is the most prolific goaltender scorer of all time?
Probably Marty Brodeur.
Yeah, with three.
Yeah.
Two of the three he was actually credited with.
Right.
he didn't actually put into the net. He's only got one goal that he shot the length of the ice.
Is it, one in the playoffs.
Yeah, no. One so two of the three he just got credited for.
Ron Hextall's got two.
Yep.
And I remember seeing a great interview with him after the second one. He's like, the second one I had to settle down and shoot down. He's like, it's more of a goal scorer's goal.
Yeah. Well, because and people talk about that. The shape of his stick.
Yeah.
The curve, the heel on it, everything, right? Like he was trying to handle the puck. That was a big deal.
Yep.
Listening to and it escapes me who the NHLer was who was talking about that. And he's saying, yeah, whenever we'd roll through Philly, everyone would want to see Hextall's stick, right? Because it was so abnormal for a goalie.
Right.
He was clearly shaping that to handle the puck.
Lob it out and, yeah,
get control of it. Or to whack Chris Chelios.
We all get that.
Well, for sure. I'm going to chase that guy down. I'm just going to lumberjack him.
Yeah. Is there a, like, we only have to go back a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember the specific game, but Toronto's up by two late, and twice the puck comes around, and Freddie takes a look, right? And he just couldn't settle the one down the second when he lobs out, and it misses. Does it do anything for you? Like, do you still kind of go, hey, that's pretty cool, or is it just,
Well, it's only happened 13 times in NHL history, so.
Well, okay, again, though, it hasn't happened 13 times that somebody shot it in.
Yep.
It's 13 times that someone has been credited.
Right. So to me, it's rare.
I think it's only five that have actually shot it.
Yeah. So I don't really care.
Do you remember that NHL All-Star weekend? It was maybe like around 02, 03, I don't know. Were they one of the All-Star competitions or the skills competition was they set up the like divider at the blue line and they dumped it in and the goalies were supposed to come out and lob it over the
it sucked for sure, but a lot of stuff in the All-Star does
it's worth a shot, but yeah, this sucks.
Yeah, because this has brought that same conversation up again, right, where people are saying could you have a goalie section of that where you have a forechecker coming in,
right,
and them having to move behind the net and come around the other side,
yes,
and flip it out, right?
Yeah.
So not just the goalies static situations.
Right.
And I don't want to see that. I really don't. But I also, no, I don't care if you've been credited because it's so rare, right?
Yeah.
To me, yeah. If you're the guy that shows up, because Ottawa has one, Damian Rhodes.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually like Rhodesy.
In 99, great hair.
99? Did you play that long?
98?
Oh, I believe you. You know the sense better than I would.
It's in that neck of the woods.
Right before the tugger? Or,
no, together. They were together.
Okay.
And yeah, he was credited. He didn't actually put it in.
Right.
So he's one of the 13.
So we want to talk a little bit about the All-Star game here before we do. We should probably talk about what we're sipping on today. What do you got over there?
I'm drinking the dregs of your advent calendar.
Yeah.
So I in the green room I sucked up one of your tropical IPA out of your advent calendar, and right now I'm drinking the pilot from Weatherhead, another IPA.
So I think we referenced that on a previous show that we just kind of been on a stretch during the calendar of two or three.
You had been on a stretch.
Yeah.
And not being a strong IPA guy.
Right. We'd seen a few in a row and I came home a couple of nights or whatever and I'm like, it's not what I want right now. So they were still sitting there and
I find this to be highly drinkable. The pilot from Weatherhead. It's a nice IPA.
Nice. Crisp. I'm in. Go ahead.
Clear. No, I was just waiting. I was going to wait for you to speak again and then
jump on it
and then roll right over it. Yeah, exactly.
I'm into the Night Shift from the Broadhead Brewing Company.
Oh, formerly.
Yeah, down here.
Of West Ottawa, somewhere in the far nether regions.
It's really far to Orleans, to be honest with you, especially on a day like today.
Yeah, but for sure.
They've had for a while a nice stout called Dark Horse that I've had a few times and I kind of like it. This one, I think I prefer. I can't tell you for sure what the difference is,
it's called
the Night Shift. Yeah. And I'm kind of a night hawk, so maybe that's part of it. But enjoying quite a bit the Night Shift from the Broadhead Brewing Company. So if you're one of those people in East Ottawa, they are now local to you.
Which is anything, east of Bank Street, just for the record.
You know, used to be, like you said, not more than 5 minutes from the studio here was the old Broadhead Brewing Company. Used to go in now and then. They had like some cool signs up and sayings on them. So you went in there and it smelled like a brewery, but you got some great shit coming out of there all the time. So if you're in East Ottawa, check out the Broadhead Brewing Company. They are new to your neighborhood, and we wish them well. The All-Star Game, every year we say, I don't care. And every year we talk about it anyway.
Well, we talk about it because it sucks. I think that's what really takes up.
Yeah, and every year I feel like I say, well, it's for the kids. And when I was a kid, I really liked the All-Star Game. And all that's true, but there's just some weird shit. And now they've changed it so you only get to vote the last man in. And I think that's okay.
Well, because you get Zemgus Girgensen getting voted in if you give the fans
that's
too
your
much
go-to,
power.
Eh? John Scott, for me, is... Oh, he's the MVP. Yeah, because like 13 All-Stars spent all day setting him up. And
yeah, and he fought Patrick Kane. Don't forget that.
In the All-Star Game?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Do you remember they dropped the gloves?
No, I don't remember. I'm sure I didn't watch it.
Okay. Well, neither did I, but it was there on the highlights. And it was just sort of a mock whatever, right?
Right.
It wasn't. But Zemgus is absolutely my guy.
Your go-to.
In just about anything, actually.
Vote for Rory.
Nope.
That was Rory Fitzpatrick, the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
One of the original troll jobs on, it's always Vancouver, you fucking.
Yeah. Well, if it wasn't for Edmonton, Vancouver would take the brunt of my distaste, but
Think I dislike Vancouver more. That may not ring true on this show.
Yeah,
but
no, I think they're more forgettable, right? To me, it's Edmonton doesn't understand.
They thought they were for real this year, eh? After their media.
Vancouver?
Yeah, they were, had got an okay start and, you know.
I do.
Just not any good. We kind of roll through this all the time. So this year you get to vote in the last man. In the Atlantic Division, it's Mitch Marner that gets in. But Dylan Larkin put out a fascinating tweet after... Is fascinating too strong? It's an interesting tweet.
It's noticeable.
Yeah. Okay. After the initial rosters are, you know, made public, they put out... another kind of, here's who you can vote for to be the last man in. And Dylan Larkin tweets out, please don't vote for me. I'd prefer the days off. And I think that's not an uncommon sentiment. Yeah, around the league. And Dylan Larkin, to me, doesn't need to fucking be there anyway. He's nowhere near as good as people suggest that he is. But... he's not even close to the first guy who suggested this. And I get we're kind of jumping into a different universe, but we're no more than, 4 or 5 years ago, Jaromir Jagr in Florida being old as fuck and going, please don't vote for me. I actually need the days off.
Yeah.
Ovechkin over the Christmas kind of holiday said, I'm not going to go. And when you do that, you're supposed to be suspended, right? I think Ovechkin has earned the right.
Well, and see,
we do this, I think, every year too. Should you be able to turn it down?
No, and I don't think you should. And I think to be consistent, and I think I'm being consistent, is you should.
A year's a long time. We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. For sure, man. I've said a lot of shit. I've said a lot of shit in 365 days. I have no idea.
Right.
But I would hope it would be consistent. What I'm left with is Ovechkin. Is a guy who has been a face of the NHL for a long time.
Yes.
And like it or not, that's something he's had to take on.
Yep. He's gone all the time. We've seen the thing with the cape and the sunglasses with Malkin.
And he plays for Russia and the world every year. Like, dude loves hockey. And that team, although it's 2 years ago, won a cup.
Yeah.
It's had some deep runs. That guy's played a lot of hockey, been to a lot of All-Star games. If he wants to take the odd one off because he thinks he's going to, you know, make a run at the cup this year with the Caps, which, hello.
He may.
Dylan Larkin, I think you were at one when you were a rookie, when they still did the rookie thing.
Yeah.
And that's where he won the fastest skater, I think.
And he'd been to another because Detroit's been shit for whatever. He's the only thing they've had.
But you, my friend, do not get the opportunity to stand up and say, yeah, I'm going to take a pass on it.
So what's the cutoff? Why? I agree with you.
Sustained greatness has to be.
What does that mean?
It's got to be more than.
I've been to five. I've been to 10.
It's got
to
be more than.
With how many points?
It's got to be more than your 131 goal season.
I agree with you, But we gotta put a stake in the grass at some point, right? Where is that? When do you get to?
And you know what? It's my taste. It's my taste for it. That's what I'm saying. It's the gut feeling I get.
Yeah.
If Dylan Larkin is a good soldier for the Wings.
Because at one point, didn't we talk about Crosby?
You are not Zetterberg. You are not Cronwall. You are not Datsuk. You're not any of those people.
No, you're not. And frankly, you're
looking
care.
Up at Johan Franzen.
Detroit has no right to have someone at the All-Star game to begin with. So
Tyler Bertuzzi really, with his 12 goals. Ugh. What are you doing?
Right. Terrible.
And you're not even the guy who's up front on your team.
Right.
And you're on the shittiest team in the NHL. And you're like, yo, give me the break.
Playing it cool.
I'll give you a break. What about the kneecap? What are you talking about, man? I want the weekend off.
So should there be an actual
Dylan
number?
Larkin, that's a guy who could use a change of location. Michigan guy, played in Michigan always, went to Michigan,
yeah.
Now playing for Detroit.
He's mediocre.
Maybe played in Grand Rapids, I think, before making it to the... Like, hey, man, beat it. You'd look good in Arizona.
Beat it. Don't you think... And people would notice, but don't you think... And I'm sort of like you, I have no beef with Ovechkin, who's been to all of these things... Way more than Sid, which we don't talk about.
Well,
right?
We don't talk about because it's been injuries, right?
Most of the time, yeah.
He's missed a bunch due to injuries.
Couldn't he, and maybe he shouldn't have to, but he could have quietly, through the team, through the league, said, I'd really rather not do. And they could have quietly suggested or selected.
Mike Green.
That's a Red Wing.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were.
No, Ovechkin, right? I don't know. Would anyone really have...
Jacob Vrana. Yeah,
Vrana. He's had a great breakout year. And the league could have selected... Or Kuznetsov. John Carlson is killing it.
How about Samsonov?
He might be going anyway.
Because Kuznetsov can't say enough about him either, right?
No, I'm sure he can.
Nobody's talking about Sammy. What's happening right. With Sammy? Oh, let's talk about Holtby. Come on. What about the big pile of coke there, like Al Pacino and Scarface? What about that, Kuznetsov? Can we talk about that?
That's not mine. I think it was my friend.
Yeah, for sure. Something. And the prostitute sleeping on the bed. Nah, that's not mine either. No woman that skinny should have breasts that big.
We can talk about that.
That's a different show, man. Yeah.
Like, Ovechkin didn't have to do it. Like, I think he's probably earned the right to opt his way out, but how do you set that up, right? How do you allow him to do it? And they should, by their own admission... suspend him for either the last game before the All-Star break or the first one after.
Yeah, okay. I have no problem with that. Black and white. To me,
they're not gonna.
To me, it comes down, well, because he wasn't voted in.
Ovechkin?
No, Larkin.
I'm back on Ovechkin,
okay,
right?
Okay, but he did miss a game. He was suspended last year. Wasn't it him?
Might have been. They've done this with Datsyuk before.
Somebody was suspended last year, and I thought it was Ovechkin. It was the game.
It was Ovechkin, because I remember being, as a Toronto fan, we played them... on one of the two, either the first before or the first after the last one before, and thinking like, please pick this one. Because you got to pick, which is also stupid. Yeah. This was definitely a thing a year ago. Only for me, I only remember because Toronto was involved. You shouldn't get to pick which one. It should always be the first game after because you haven't missed the All-Star game, you know, that... until you've missed it, right? So you should be suspended for the first game after the break.
Agreed, totally.
But I don't want to suspend Ovechkin for this.
Because of what we just talked about?
Yeah, he's been to 10 of 12 or whatever the fuck it's been.
Yeah, yeah.
Good enough, man. Okay, like, you've done your part.
As you said.
35? No, he's not. He's 33 years.
Why is that, though? And as you said, stake in the ground.
Yeah.
What is the same thing you said, man.
Gut feel. That guy's paid his dues. I just think this could have...
I agree with you, and we talk about it all the time.
This could have quietly been done through the Capitals PR to the NHL. We're going to select just John Carlson. No one would blink an eye. The guy's having a killer season, and you just go, well, based on numbers, there was no room for Ovechkin this year. And because he's not going to put up a fucking stink about it, you move on.
Yeah, and so to me, Dylan Larkin, the very fact that we're talking about Crosby and we're talking about Ovechkin and we're talking about Dylan Larkin.
One of these things
is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong.
True, man.
And it's Dylan Larkin.
Yeah.
And only Dylan Larkin doesn't understand that you do not apply.
I just, like you said, Tyler Bertuzzi is the one that the league selected. I don't have a problem with him going out on Twitter and saying, yeah, don't pick me. Like or whatever. Like,
you have no problem with Dylan Larkin doing that?
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
At that point, I expect the rest of the league to step up and fucking pick him.
Yeah.
Other teams.
All right.
I don't want Mitch going. I want to talk about Freddie.
Yeah.
I don't want Freddie going to the All-Star game.
Yeah, well,
I want Freddie to take a few days off.
Have they named two goalies? And sorry, I don't already know this. Per division?
Yeah, I think it's Rask.
I was going to say, because for sure, if they've named a goalie, it should be Rask anyways.
Yeah, there's always two. I think the other one's Rask. And that's legit.
Now, Freddie should be one of the two goalies in this division. I have no problem with that.
But
this
as a Leaf fan, no.
Well, because Sheldon Keefe showed up and he's just going to run that bitch right into the hole.
And I get it. Send Hutch. Take Freddie's mask and Freddie's jersey and send Hutch.
Hutch would love it.
I'd love it too.
Well, of course. And all I'm saying is, at the end of the day, I think the first time Ovechkin said, I don't want to go, or maybe even Crosby said, I don't want to go, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you look at it and go, what those guys have done.
Every media day, every World Cup, for the
league, right? Yeah. And you go, man, the two guys going head-to-head and what they've done, like that seven-game series that the Caps and the Penguins had.
That was in 09, but...
I know, but okay, that just further illustrates my point.
Yeah.
That's 11 years ago.
Yep.
And they were doing shit then where they went seven games, and in the final game, one guy had 4 points and one guy had 3 points.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day,
what a loser.
They're carrying the banner of the league where all the hopes and dreams of the NHL.
Right.
And you go, oh, and all they did was live up to the hype.
Right.
Dylan Larkin, that is not you, man. And all I'm saying is
awareness,
a little self-awareness.
I agree. I do agree. But I just think Dylan Larkin is not opting out of the league's selecting him. He's asking the fan base who now gets to vote on the last man in.
Right.
Hey, don't pick me.
Okay. So now we can transition sideways to the league.
This whole thing's gone. So.
Okay, but to the league, right? Where the league used to run this as a showcase of your best. And the fact that, so Anthony Duclair is the Senators' pick, 21 goals.
Yep. Now, there's some people saying, should have been Pajot.
Oh, Pajot's got less goals.
Yeah, I know. But right. we like him more. He's a hometown guy. He's been here longer.
I don't feel that way.
And I'm not saying you do.
I know, but I'm a hometown guy.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who's like, I am so stoked to go to an All-Star game.
Yeah.
And I get it. This will be his first. But
we sent Leo Komarov once.
Because your team totally
it was
sucked.
So bad.
But
fuck.
The league needs to look at this. It used to be guys were like, this is an absolute, it's respect. I've achieved something of status.
Yeah.
And now you've got to a spot where every team needs to have a representative. Garbage. I know you're with me on
that.
Yes,
I am.
And there's no need, because sometimes your team sucks and you just don't have an all-star.
But it's for the kids. And your kid needs to see your guy on.
No, your kid does not. Who's Duclair? Who's Dylan Larkin?
Okay, but there's some kid in Ottawa going, that's my guy.
Yeah, but it's in, where is it this year? It's in Pittsburgh. It's
St. Louis.
St. Louis? I was close.
Yeah.
Not. But yeah, nobody in St. Louis is going, where's the Duke?
Right.
Give me the Duke. You mean that guy who hasn't scored in 7 or 8 games? That's the guy I want to see.
Well, I guess I'm with you. Like that year that Komarov went for the Leafs.
You're with me or you're not.
I am with you. That year that Komarov went for the Leafs, it was more embarrassing that he was there than the fact that we wouldn't have had an all-star, right? Like if you're looking
amen,
at it.
Amen, brother.
That,
amen.
Yeah. If you'd have just said, no, you suck. You're terrible. We're
if that's
giving
our
your
guy,
spot to Boston.
We are deferring.
Right.
Exactly right.
So to me, that's not Duclair this year. He's having.
Oh, I agree.
Right. But there's kind of this weird.
Dylan Larkin. That's not you.
You're so fun. They didn't pick Dylan Larkin.
I know, but for him to stand up and say, don't pick me. I'm like, no one was going to pick you.
That's just a pride saving move. That's all.
All right.
Do you think part of this, and we can transition here a little bit, is when you make the teams smaller to have this little 3-on-3 tournament, it's harder on your guys. They got to everyone's hungover as fuck. No one's actually trying that hard, but it is more work than if you just had a normal kind of 5-on-5 sort of.
Oh, well, that's why Yager, if you remember.
Yeah, I'm not going to go and try and keep up.
Well, that's what he said. He goes 3-on-3. It's terrible. And don't put me to the All-Star game because it's way too much work, man. No, playing 3-on-3.
You're going to put me on a line with Dylan Larkin and I'm not going to keep up with that fucking guy. So
I got a back check and shit.
Right.
No,
one does that. But once it became this 3-on-3, the fact that everyone had to be represented to me stood out way more because the teams are smaller, right? So you have to jam a Detroit guy in there. Tyler Bertuzzi is not
an all-star. No.
So,
and really neither is Duclair. He's having a good season, but you're having a good season in December.
He's on pace for over 40. I got no beef with...
No.
He's never going to do it again, in my opinion. I'm fine with that.
He's lucky if he makes 32 this year, so...
Oof, you got him cooling way off. Eh?
He already has. I get scorers are streaky.
Yeah.
But to me, all-stars are all-stars.
Yes.
Right? And you go through it and you say, yeah, I want to see Brent Burns, even though he's not having a great season.
Didn't Marchand get shafted this year? Didn't they? I think it's Pasternak and Rask.
Okay, but yeah.
Punt Bertuzzi out of there. Marchand needs to go.
For sure. This is what I'm saying.
Once you shrink the rosters down to do this 3-on-3 thing, it sucks.
They were going to do that anyways.
No, but you can kind of hide it a little more with the bigger 16 and 16 or whatever you're going to do. Right. Right.
It's like the year that Ottawa hosted, and it was 09, 010, 010.
09, I think.
Yeah, whenever that was.
Yeah, whatever.
And they had Spezza, McCulloch, Alfredson, and Carlson. I think they had.
Right. You can kind of hide it a little more, right?
Hometown.
And, yeah.
But San Jose, I think, had three guys last year.
I remember.
They hosted last year.
Yeah. I remember when Montreal hosted and they were pushing hard to get the whole starting lineup. And
talk about a less deserving franchise.
They did it, though. They had their goalie, one defenseman, and three forwards, and Dion Phaneuf because Leaf fans are assholes.
I'm taking Dion over any of the...
I think it was Andre Markov.
Skaters. It wasn't PK Subban.
So here we are. I don't know. We've spent this much time on it. Neither of us are going to fucking watch the thing again.
For sure we're not. For sure we're not.
It is what it is.
I'll sleep better, though, knowing that Dylan Larkin...
Let it go, man. Dylan Larkin.
Yes, sir.
He's taking your family or something.
It's honestly, it's like he's... Yeah, man, you're going to... It's on you, man.
Okay. So this thing will be, as the last several have been, the 3-on-3 tournament. I didn't really have a problem with them trying something different. I'm kind of over it. But you wanted to talk a little about the 3-on-3 in general as an overtime thing. Most people love it. Where do you come down at this point, or is
last week? Yeah, no, it totally is.
Monday night, I think.
Winnipeg, Toronto is Monday,
or Wednesday. Yeah, I can't remember.
It was earlier last week.
Yeah.
It comes down to, and I was watching that game live because I was rooting like
it was
hell
Wednesday,
for Winnipeg.
Sure you were.
And then fuck that Austin Matthews guy.
How about that Freddie guy?
Well, but no, to me,
Freddie was actually having a mediocre game until the third and overtime.
To me, Austin Matthews is good.
He's
man.
Killing him. Yeah.
The guy is just good. And
when you're clapping them in off the crossbar from the point.
Well, and honestly, they kept showing it, and I'm looking and focusing just on him, right? And he's just standing there, and he's at the top of the circle there. And
yep, just drifting open.
Ding! And and again, because it was a tying goal and it was him, it chafes me. But dude's good.
Yeah.
Good.
I was a little giddy. And so that sent us to 3-on-3.
Right. And then in the overtime, that was just... You have enough talent on both teams.
Yeah.
That it's just...
That was wonderfully entertaining. That
shit's just... And for me now, and I am engaged because I have Hellebuck in my pool.
Oh, okay.
Right? So that's my...
I got Freddie.
That's my guy, right? And then I just want to see the Leafs lose. And so...
Right.
The talk of... And the quote afterwards was somebody saying to Shifley, you know... The broadcasting crew also mentioned it. Is it anticlimactic to go to the shootout after having that much excitement in the 3-on-3.
Right.
And it was. It absolutely was like, oh, sure. Fuck, man. And this is boring.
Yep.
Going to the shootout.
I didn't think boring, but...
I wanted to see more of what we just had.
Do you remember...
And how much further do you think into that 3-on-3 was it going to go before somebody was going to put that in?
Right.
How much? I'm asking you.
Yeah, right now. I had this conversation with somebody, it was more of an argument, during the World Juniors. When was it, did Russia play USA in the semis? No, USA went out in the
It was Russia.
Russia-Sweden. Yes, it was. It was Russia-Sweden.
Sweden,
so they go to 3-on-3 in the semifinal of a world championship. And I'm discussing with somebody and they go, you know what? They should have allowed for an extra 2 minutes beyond the 5 minutes of 3-on-3, because how? Look at all this skill. It wasn't going to last. And so I had to point out that the gold medal game of the women's world juniors that was going on at the same time had just gone 17 and a half minutes at 3-on-3.
That was U18, I think, was it not?
Yeah, still women's, under 18 instead of under 20. But all I'm saying in that regard is you just don't know, right? How many times do you see guys come out and circle back?
I've heard that 4 or 5 times today.
You just don't know.
You just don't know.
Yeah. Well, I can't help you there.
Okay, no, it's true, and I'm starting to
wonder. I assume it wouldn't have gone much, but there's no way to know, right? And my thing is, I'm not as enamored with 3-on-3 as everybody else. That was a particularly exciting one. But how often have you seen so-and-so come out, they look, McDavid's on the ice, so I'll pass it back to my own zone. I'm going to circle back over here, and I'm going to waste his fucking shift, right? And you see it, and that's not the majority. But when the shootout first came in, people thought that was exciting. They didn't all love it, but it was exciting.
Yep.
And there's no way around that. And now we've got this new shiny thing, and we all think that's exciting, and it is.
And what is it, 4 or 5 years old?
Yeah, it's probably 4 years old.
See, to me, it was chaos at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right, the 3-on-3. And then people have brought in the whole soccer idea. And sorry, just to double back to your point,
right.
I agree with you. I agree with you. The Leaf, I want to see more of the Leaf Jets.
Right.
3-on-3. I've also seen...
I want to see less of the Sens Red Wings.
Sens Habs last night, right?
Right.
Now, it was okay. It was okay. Honestly, Hogberg made 8 saves
right.
in 4 minutes of overtime.
Yeah, that's incredible.
He was dynamite. That's back-to-back overtimes where he's been really good.
Right.
But it comes down to there is a lot of that. I'm going to circle back. I'm going to bring it out of the zone.
Pass it back. We'll all go for a change.
We'll make a change, and then we'll try and regroup and reattack.
They're not all killer.
No, they are not. And so that is my – I agree with you on that. And we can't extend it out further, I said, because you have your Marners, your Matthews – your Nylanders,
Shifley's,
your Rileys, your Wheelers, your Ehlers, your Kopp, whatever, Connors, sorry.
Yeah, not
Kopp, yeah.
Never heard of that fucking
name. It comes down to those guys, you're extending out their seasons X amount.
Yeah, your bottom two lines are just sitting there.
Right, and so.
We didn't throw the goat out during overtime.
Well, Babcock was there. Babcock was there. You'd have way
get
more
there to win the draw.
You'd have
it,
way more Freddie Gauthier than you ever could have.
You know that's true.
So no, I agree with you, and I think you start to throw around different ideas. I don't think extending it by 2 minutes, 5 minutes is a viable option for your top end players. I know Shifley said, "Hell yeah, man, I want to go more." Yeah, you want to go more in that game because there was all kinds of
crazy shit. He had a
five alarm sales.
Yeah,
a 2-on-0. Yeah. Can you not click? Well, and listen to Joe Bowen
calls the way better call.
Pulling that chicken bone out of it. He's like, yeah. Oh my God. Are you still hoping we're going to get on
Homer radio?
No, I get it. But Joe Bowen, you're the worst.
Oh, okay.
Next to what's his face in Boston.
Dean Brown.
Not Dean Solid.
I like Dean actually.
Well, because Dean sounds the same whenever somebody scores.
No, he doesn't.
He absolutely doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
The score call is the same.
No, it's not.
All right.
Dean, like most, is a homer, but I think they should be. He's not a crazy over-the-top homer. He's not a – but he is what a local radio call should be.
All right, and we've really gotten away from it.
Yeah.
it is the idea that the 3-on-3 and the Shifley comments. Yeah, Shifley wants to be more heavily involved in more of those.
Sure.
Not the other ones, and we can't do that. So you have to implement other rules.
Well, because Winnipeg was carrying on that night to Boston. They were already going to get in at like 3 in the morning. How long do you want to do this? Because a lot of people will call out, the 3-on-3, just do it indefinitely. It won't last more than 6 or 7 minutes. Well, I can already...
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it will.
Yeah.
Like 17, 18 fucking minutes, man.
And if you do that 5 times a year, it's too much, man.
And I think my point was always just, we used to, even though we didn't all love it, we used to all think the shootout was really exciting. And we got over it. But now this is the shiny new thing. And at some point, we'll get over that. Because really, for me, this isn't... It's a little better, but the shootout isn't hockey. It's not... You never would see one-on-one with the goalies. How often do you actually see 3-on-3? For everyone saying that one is a gimmick and the other is real hockey, come on. Come on.
No, and I agree with you on all that, in the gimmickry and all the stuff that comes with that.
It's just the new shiny gimmick.
Right. I could do away with... I would be fine with ties going back to... To finishing with,
we're never gonna.
No, I know,
but because, I'm with you.
Because the idea that, you know, well, we need to have a winner. Yeah. I don't. At the end, in football, we do it.
Right.
Right. You go in. You go. That's it. That's the deal.
Do they still?
CFL does.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. I know. So we can debate that too. But it comes down to you implement things like you don't allow people once you cross the blue line.
Can't circle.
You can't circle back out.
Yep. I'd be okay with that. Only in overtime. But only, now how crazy do you got to get? Like, well, what are we doing?
Okay, but it happens in basketball.
I'm totally...
You come across the center line, you can't go back. I am
totally with you. But do you not have to then implement it?
New rules, like different stuff.
Only in overtime?
Yeah.
Are we doing this whole...
Hey, you've already gone to 3-on-3.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So For everyone who wants to go, the shootout's a gimmick, this is real hockey. No, it's not. You've changed... You never see 3-on-3.
I think when we get away from 4-on-4, anything less than 4-on-4 is gimmicky.
Yes. So, and it's fun, and it's exciting, but it's a gimmick.
But see, why do we need to have a winner? Why can't we have a tie? And I'm not here to debate that with you.
No, I understand it because I'm with you, but we're never going back. So it's just sort of a...
So anyways, I think there's rules like a shot clock, like in basketball or lacrosse.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this before on the show because it's ringing a bell now but the idea that, you can't cross maybe the blue line, maybe center, right? Maybe you can't go back across.
Right.
If you're going to go to 3-on-3, which is a new thing, I'm just saying there's ways to tweak that.
Yep.
And that's it. And if not, if you're not willing to go away from it, you know, I'm a traditionalist, then you know what? Stick with the tie, man.
Yeah.
2 points for a win.
There's your tradition.
1 point for a tie. You get to the end of 3-on-3, it's a tie. Guess what, man? You get 1 point.
Yeah.
Bust your ass.
Well, because to me, that's the real problem, is that within the last 10 minutes of any game that's tied, it doesn't even matter whether you're in the same division or conference anymore. Everyone's just like, let's just both get our point.
Okay, but do you put any stock in the fact that they're talking about Toronto and Winnipeg being at a conference games? And people are like, fuck it. Go for it. I don't care if you get the 2 points. I want the 2 points, and I'm going to go for it.
I don't, because to me, that one's different because Toronto tied it late. But if we're both tied with 7 minutes left...
No, I know, but I mean in the overtime.
In the overtime,
they're saying it's I'm not willing to give you or gift you the opportunity.
No,
because we're both vying for a wild card.
At this point, we both got a point. Let's just fucking go. I do believe there's something to that, but that's stupid. In 3-on-3, the way it is, you should both always be going for it. Divisional game, conference game, wild card game, whatever. I think we talked about this a little bit in the green room. And I'd be interested to get your take because you watched the game. It looked to me last night like Sen's Twitter was blaming Drake Batherson for being the only guy back on a 2-on-1 when Kovalchuk scored. He's a forward. It's 3-on-3. Crazy shit happens,
right,
man.
I would like to think that they're blaming Batherson for the play in the offensive zone, right? When they were in the Montreal zone, that Montreal was able to bring the puck out more easily than they would have liked.
So he turned it over in deep?
I can't remember the Jets. It was a play just inside the blue line.
Yeah.
And people are saying, oh, he didn't reach out. He
right.
didn't. Like, fuck, are you kidding me? But yet he beat it back. And in my opinion, what you're left with is he took away the pass in the 2-on-1. This is a forward who has, I don't know, 20 games in the NHL?
That's road hockey 101, right? We all know, you know, sometimes in the pros, you have a different thing, charge the shooter, force him to make a good pass. But everyone knows 101 hockey, take away the pass on a 2-on-1, let your goalie have the shooter.
And Batherson did it. So if you have any issue with that, it's with Batherson being the high man in the offensive zone. But guess what, man? It's 3-on-3.
Right.
To me, you want to crucify a guy for his defensive coverage in the offensive zone, 5-on-5.
Right.
Hey, man, work away. Because that shit you work on in practice day after day after day. You're not going to, to me, you can't crucify a guy for his 3-on-3 play in overtime because that's freewheeling. That's improv at its best in hockey. And so to me, anybody who's roasting the Drake after that game.
Bath time.
Yeah. And you know what? While you're at it, Habs sends full barn, love it. The atmosphere
was loud when they scored. It was good.
Yeah, because there's 7,000 or 8,000 Habs fans in the arena, and I don't mind that. Whatever, man.
You do.
Okay, would I rather it didn't happen?
Yeah,
but fill the coffers.
Sure.
That's why on local radio they don't give those seats away because they're being bought up by fat, ignorant, mustachioed, comb over wearing Hab fans.
Yeah, you suck, Hab.
And so when you guys celebrate like that in our arena, that's fine. Good for you.
Oh, this is such a loser mentality.
Okay, but wait. Ottawa is stated rebuild in the works.
Yep.
You fuckers in the Habs jerseys think that you are making the playoffs this year.
Losing 7-8 or whatever.
Eight in a row, right? And you've taken the 30th place Senators to overtime.
Yeah.
And did you see them celebrate? Did you see the celebration on the ice? I'm talking about players now, not fans.
Saturday night. Yeah. To me, that looked like a Kovalchuk celebration. Like, this is good for this guy more than for this team, don't you think?
Yeah, because suddenly that guy's a real teammate and fan-friendly guy.
I feel like he probably is in Montreal, right? Like, you got one of the best ever Russians at the end of his career, like you did with Kovalev.
L'Artiste.
Right. I don't know. To me, I didn't read a ton into the celebration. We've been losing a ton. It's an overtime game, and this is our new guy. I didn't read a ton.
And loser mentality or not, Ottawa's full-blown rebuild.
Yeah.
And yet,
because they've been pretty competitive in the first half, but aren't they now on like a seven skid?
That's
now
7 games.
Yeah.
Absolutely but that's, it is.
They're looking for it. I get that. It just,
well, and that, all I'm saying is in 3 years, if that's the same score,
yeah,
I'm wicked disappointed.
Right.
As a Sens fan. Not this right now.
Brady Kovalchuk.
Right.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
So those guys, and they're said Zachary, they have no idea.
Show titled?
Yeah. They have no idea what's happening. Now, I get there's no Drouin, there's no Gallagher.
That doesn't matter.
This is a team that is got playoff ambitions.
Yeah.
Has a goalie who's pulling down $15 million this year.
903 save percentage.
What, is it above 9?
Okay, last I looked, it was 903. Okay. Could be lower.
But so that is, you are tight to that.
Yeah.
So if that's a greater lack of awareness.
Well, so what do you think they're doing, right? Because they've brought in Kovalchuk. Clearly they want to make a push for the playoff. But when you look at kind of, this rebuild thing is sort of new, but when you look back at how
they're not rebuilding.
Well, okay. They have been, right? Not a full-fledged teared up. When you look at their first-round picks in this decade, it's abysmal, man, what they have been able to get done. I have no idea how Marc Bergevin still has a job there, but they have, over the last decade or so, and we can leave out the last couple where you assume, you know, either it's too early or that they may yet turn into something. But Kotkaniemi, too early to make a call there. polling. Well, too early probably to make a call. Paling, whatever the fuck we're
going paling. With it. Yep.
Whatever we're doing there, you know, we'll give them a little time.
Funny you should ask, Matt. I have that right here.
That is tremendous show prep, man. On top of it.
Yes. Habs 09 through 16. So the 16 pick, you think, is ready to mature.
Should be ready to jump in.
So 09, Habs first round pick, Louis LeBlanc.
Gone.
Traded. 2010, Jared Tenorti. Gone. Traded. 2011, Nathan Beaulieu.
Gone. Buffalo.
Traded. Now, I think he's in Minnesota now, isn't he?
I think you're right.
But I think he went Buffalo to Minnesota.
Yeah.
2012, Alex Galchenyuk.
Traded.
Traded.
A couple times.
Yeah. You have 2013, Mike McCarron. Traded.
What a generic EA Sports sounding name.
Couple times.
Yeah.
2014, Nikita Sergachev.
Oh, no. Traded for Drouin.
Yeah. How about 2014, Nikita Sherbach.
Waved.
Waved. Noah Juulsen.
Still in the minors.
Playing in the AHL.
I had high hopes for that guy, but as a defenseman, they take a little longer, but we're 4 years in now.
For sure.
Yeah.
2016, talking about defensemen taking longer to develop.
Yep.
2016, Mikhail Sergachev.
I thought he was 2014. Who'd we?
Sherbach.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, yeah. So
2016 is Sergachev traded.
Right.
And so that's a defenseman. I believe he was playing in Windsor. Sergachev had his junior.
I think you're right. I could be wrong.
Their Memorial Cup year.
But he's killing it in Tampa now.
Wow. And so if you look, and this is, and we joke about show prep, you know, you forward this tweet on to me. If you look through the thread, right, there's somewhere later on where it says, hey, Hab fan, generic Hab fan here who's saying, what about these first rounders that have been traded that we traded for other first rounders like Yoel Aramia? Get out of here, Joel. Third what line. The fuck are you doing with that? Fancy yourself up, dirt boy. And they're like, Sergachev traded for another first rounder in Domi.
No, Drouin.
And I'm like, I'm keeping Sergachev every day of the week.
Well, especially, like, how do you send that tweet with the benefit of hindsight even? Like, if you had that to do over, would you do it again?
Well, because the other one was Galchenyuk for Domi.
Right. And that one, like, he was having a pretty good year before he got hurt this year. I'm not a big fan of that. Now, but Galchenyuk, he hasn't killed it in Arizona or Pittsburgh either. So that was worth a shot. I don't know that they won that deal, but I don't know that they lost it. Like, to me, Domi's sort of been enigmatic.
Yeah, for sure he is.
Yeah.
For sure. Now, it comes down to, though, for me, if you're going to trade Sergachev for Drouin, I get it. But you are focused on, you now have brought in Drouin to go with Beaulieu, to go with LeBlanc.
Yeah.
And you go, what have you done here, man? You've loaded in on Franco's.
Yep.
Right? And I get it, the importance to the market. Right, but in this tweet,
it's just shit.
In this tweet, the first response to this, and it was cap friendly, just saying, hey, this is 2009 through 2016 Habs first rounders and where they've ended up. The first tweet in response is from a guy who, you know, we can only guess to his ethnicity, but his name is Mark A. Ouellette.
Okay. Could be.
Yeah, it could be Italian. Mark Wallet. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so he's saying, for all the moaning about a GM who is bilingual, Trevor Timmons is the head scout there.
Right.
Who's calling all the shots. And then it finishes with saying, and he's an Anglo.
The fuck does that matter?
Well, Trevor Timmons was here in Ottawa for it, and he's the one that drafted Hossa. He was good in Ottawa in terms of.
But if management says to you, hey, look to the French guy, if that's what your boss says.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's true, man. And then, of course, you wouldn't have any kind of, you know, online parlay without an Oilers fan saying, hey, man, what about us? Take a look at what we've done over here. And you're like, nobody cares.
Yeah. You don't. Not all of us get to draft first overall every other year.
For sure. And so, for the sake of this, Oiler fan, You have Pajarvi traded. 2010, Taylor Hall.
Gone.
Traded. 2011, R&H.
Still hanging around.
Yep. 2012, Nile Yakupov.
Gone.
Gone. And like gone. Like whoosh, out of the league, gone. Of the league,
yeah.
So
yeah,
that's a first overall.
Lighten her like, up for
forget about first rounder. Yeah. That is a first overall pick who is no longer even in the league.
Yeah.
So it's you've moved on to 2013, Darnell Nurse.
Still hanging in.
2014, Draisaitl.
It's a good pick.
2015, McDavid.
It's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, so what are you doing, no Oiler fan? Like, you have these high, high picks. Yeah. I'm not sure what it is you're trying to illustrate. It's one of those things where you're like, yeah, really? What are you saying here?
Right.
Right? If you can look at Philadelphia Flyers further down in this same list.
Right.
And to me, this is a great trip down memory lane. I think you and I talked about this. 2009, pick traded for Chris Pronger.
Yep.
And you're like, what?
No, I'd do that again.
2010, pick traded for Chris Pronger.
They were in the 2010 Cup Finals. That was a worthwhile.
Oh, I know, but 2009 and 2010, you've traded two first. Like, that's one of those things.
He was
like,
still, man, before no, his head was caved in.
I know.
I think Michael Grabowski.
Yeah, of course. who hasn't had that happening? 2011, Couturier.
Good pick, man.
Current first line center.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad. 2012, Lawton.
Scott Lawton, former Oshawa General captain, just waving at it out there.
Current third line center for the Flyers.
Yep.
You have 2013, Morin, who is long-term injury reserve.
Yeah, 3 years.
You have 2014, you have Sanheim.
Travis Sanheim playing on their blue line right now.
Yep. Third pairing defenseman.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to think about that.
Yeah.
You have 2015, you have Ivan Provorov, current first pairing defenseman.
Yeah, good pick.
You have 2015, Travis Konecny.
It's a pretty good pick.
First line right winger.
Just beaking at people and scoring goals.
And getting run over by Mark Borowiecki and concussed.
As we all do at some point.
Yes, for sure it is.
Careful on your bikes out there, folks.
2016, I have no idea who this guy is. Rubalov, Rubslov, Rubstov, whatever his name is. I got no idea what that guy's doing.
Speaking of waving at
it. Yeah, for sure. But to me, that's good drafting on the part of the Flyers. Edmonton, you know what? You don't count because, yes, you are picking in the top four every year and potentially this year as well.
Well, and I think, the point being Montreal from 2009 to 2016, nothing to show for it. Nothing to show for your first round picks. So what are you doing? Are you a contender?
What you doing?
Nope. Are you rebuilding? Apparently not.
Yeah. Well, you're not when you're paying. When you got two guys and you have cap hits over $10 million.
Whew. Yikes.
Hey, Shea Weber. Hey, Carey Price. It's
funny that deal, eh? And I want to talk about that maybe down the road a little bit.
And just
with the Weber and
Subban.
Subban.
And I was...
I think Subban's having a down year. I don't know that he's as done as people are writing him off as.
Oh, and he's been written off.
He has. I'm not ready to do that. But this is holding up better for Montreal than anyone expected. Well,
than I ever expected.
Well, for me too. And most people looked at that and went, you fucking idiots.
Buffoons! Right? See, and I was positive when that happened that Montreal would be happy in the first 2 years.
Yeah.
Right?
And maybe even a little more, but yeah.
And then that would eat. Well, if you remember Weber's last year, it was a Chicago-Nashville playoff game.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, Shea Weber's being exposed big time, right? He's no good.
Right.
Right? And then that summer, that trade happened.
Well, and he'd been offer sheeted the summer before by Philly. And that's, you know, forced up the price on Nashville.
Which also comes with, if you sign an offer sheet.
You're ready to leave.
Yeah, well, you have, there's no trade, right? So you have to waive all that, which is what's allowed him to be flipped and flipped and potentially flipped.
Like, New Jersey gave up nothing but cap space to get Subban, and it's looking like it wasn't a good idea.
Well, it's looking like that was too much.
Yeah.
And so, we can discuss that.
Yeah. I'm not sold that this is permanent, especially with the length of Weber's deal. But right now, Montreal looks like they have come out on the right side of that. I'm not sure whether it'll last or not, but
I think it will.
You think he might be done, eh?
Well, I've watched him fairly closely.
He's not skating right.
Four or five, for sure he's not. So unless there's something injury wise that's preventing him from, but he used to be a dynamic skater.
Yeah. Just Lindsey Vaughn riding him way too hard, man.
Get
way
on your,
too hard.
Get on your back.
Guys, BK. Get a good fork. Yeah, let her do some of it. Exactly. She's got those strong mogul quads or whatever.
She's a downhill skier, man.
I know.
All right.
It had to work, though. Had to make it fit. Just like she did.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's Tall Can Sports for another week. Facebook.com/TallCanAudio, at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll catch you all on the next one.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking suck this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.